Hey everyone, Michael here. Welcome back into Proverbs series. Really, we're talking about Proverbs 13 this session, this show. And I'm really excited. I know a lot of you have gotten some good feedback from some of you, whether you're listening to this on YouTube or Rumble or Spotify. I know a lot of you like listening just via podcast. So Spotify and iTunes or Google Play, wherever you're listening to this. And really hoping you continue to use this as an opportunity to bring people together in your life that maybe, you know, you've thought, man, I need to get some people together and go through the word, and you've struggled with that a little bit. I want to challenge you to do that. Grab your cup of coffee, sit down with your guys or ladies or kids, whatever it is, and take some time and go through this with me. So today we're talking about Proverbs 13. So grab your Bibles. Remember, I use the New Living Translation version, NLT, and that will help you as you go through it. I, as always, recommend a highlighter so you can highlight what stands out to you. What I share may connect with you, and there might be some other verses along the way that stand out to you. So I'm going to challenge you to highlight that as well. Before we jump in, though, let's have a word of prayer together before we get into it. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to get in your word here today. We pray for wisdom and all of the things that are going on in the world today. And we know, I believe in my heart, really, that that's the solutions to all of the challenges that we face in our world can come from you. And they come as we seek wisdom. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would impart wisdom to all of those that are joining us via podcast or video, and that we would grow through this Proverbs 13. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Proverbs 13, like we've been doing, I'm just going to read through it. You can follow along with me in your Bible. So Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise child accepts a parent's discipline, and mockers refuse to listen to correction. Wise words will win you a good meal. We all like to eat, hopefully. Everybody likes a good meal, right? Wise words will win you a good meal, but treacherous people have an appetite for violence. We've seen that to be kind of a little bit of a theme through Proverbs, is those that are evil can kind of can't help themselves. They want to do evil. We've seen that in different parts of the world as evil people are going in and beheading babies and doing all kinds of things. It's just, you know, incomprehensible to some of us, but to those that do evil, that's just the nature of what they do. Those who control their tongue will have long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. That's something to think about because, you know, a lot of times in conversations as we grow, there was a quote years ago from, I think it was Kenny Rogers, really. It was either a song or a quote, but he said, know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Now, that's a little different than opening your mouth and being quiet, but it's also the idea of understanding that in life sometimes, you know, sometimes us speaking, even though we may have the answer or think we know we have the answer, that may not be the answer. It may not be the time to speak. You know, I again, it's the idea of allowing the Holy Spirit to work. And that doesn't mean that we keep our mouths shut and don't say anything. We do that as we feel led. But sometimes we need to be praying, God, is this what you want me to share right now? Or is silence in the moment the right thing to do? Verse 4, lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper. And that's just a role, kind of like I'll call it the role of the universe. Really, it's God's role. You just can't get around. Like, if you want to get ahead in life, if you want to build wealth, if you want to build real value, if you want to build a reputation of integrity and doing great work, that can only come through discipline and hard work, quite honestly. Verse 5, the godly hate lies, the wicked cause shame and disgrace. Verse 6, and I've highlighted this one, in my Bible, verse 6, it says, godliness guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin. So as we stay tethered, you know, you can imagine in your mind being tethered to something, right? You've seen, maybe if you've ever been at a lake, I remember when we were growing up, Lake Racetown, and all the boats would kind of hang out there, and there'd be friends that would pull up one to another, and they would kind of anchor or tether, tie, if you will, themselves one to another. There might be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 boats together just kind of hanging out for the day. Well, that tying or tethering boat to boat allows them to stay there, and then they can hang out and enjoy the day and do whatever they want to do, and they don't have to worry about the boat kind of drifting away and working on your swimming capability, right? To swim after your boat, you don't have to do that because you're tethered together. I think it's interesting here that if you read this, it says, verse 6, godliness guides, guards, not guides, but also guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin. Now, I love this word. It's interesting the Bible uses this word here, at least in the NLT version. It says misled by sin. And when someone is misled, they're in a place where they're actually going down a path that they think in their own mind or they think from perception might be right, but they're actually being misled. So they're believing in something that they actually probably think is right, but they're being misled. And it says godliness guards the path. It guards, right? Protects against the path of the blameless. So in life, if we want to be in a place where we are walking in a way that is being guarded by the things of God, protected by the things of God, does that mean the path is going to be perfect and straight? No. Does that mean the path is going to be without challenges? No. There's going to be challenges. In fact, Jesus said in the New Testament, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So when we're in a place where we realize that godliness will guard our path and it'll keep us from being misled. I can't tell you, I want to take a second on this because I think it's so important. I can't tell you how many people in life have chased ideas, and maybe you've been there. I know I've been there. Chased ideas, chased things, chased directions that you thought, wow, this seems really like it makes sense. But you were misled. When it was all said and done, you're like, wow, what a waste of time. That was such a detour to my path of purpose. And that can happen sometimes when we are not in God's word, when we're not in prayer, when we're not tethered or being guarded by godliness, which comes from being in the word of God and in prayer. Verse 7, some who are poor pretend to be rich. Others who are rich pretend to be poor. We see this that we call them posers, right? People that are showing up, they're pretending to be something that they're not. They're posers. We see that in our society. Verse 8, the rich can pay ransom for their lives, but the poor won't even get threatened. The life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. Verse 10, pride, this is also highlighted in my Bible. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. There's a book that I read years ago. In fact, I'm going to have my producer grab this real quick. Do me a favor, JP. Get me that red book right there. There's a book that I read years ago. This is in my kitchen. And it's the story of R.G. Letourneau. And the book is called God Runs My Business. And now this is old school. My book, actually, when I bought it, this is another copy because somebody took one of my copies. But this copy, actually, in my original copy, it said Billy's book from the library because these are literally out of print. So it's the only way you can get it. But I read that book years ago, and I was given that by a gentleman by the name of Tom Brubaker. He was our neighbor for years, great guy in Pennsylvania. And when he gave me that book, It really was, quite honestly, truth be told, it was literally the first book that I ever read front to back. So here I am, I don't know what age I was, 25, 26, something like that, maybe 20, 27, 28, I don't know exactly, but he gave me that book. I highly respected Tom because I knew that when he gave me advice, he wasn't just speaking to me to be heard. You know, a lot of times when you're asking a question to someone, and you can just sense that they're kind of just waiting for you to finish talking so that way they can share what's on their mind or they can share what they think is right. We've had those conversations before. Well, Tom wasn't this way. Tom was someone who I might ask a question and he actually would say from time to time, you know what, let me pray about that and think about that and then I'll get back to you. So I really took highly the wisdom that he gave me. And when he gave me this book, God Runs My Business, I didn't know anything about R.G. Letourneau at the time. and a little kind of 30,000 foot view, and you can go check out the book for yourself if you want. But it's the idea of this is the guy that God gave wisdom to essentially create technology and machinery that was used years ago in America to create and pave roads in our country. So he became very wealthy very, very fast. But he didn't know what he wanted to do until he was in his mid-30s. And his MO, his mode of operation was always, it's not how much of my money I give to God, but rather how much of God's money I keep. And he was very open to wisdom. And so I say that to connect with this verse here in verse 10, where it says, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. And I'm just thankful that over the years, I don't know that I would always have considered myself in the category of someone willing to take advice, because I wasn't. I would listen to things, but I wouldn't actually take it and apply it, because oftentimes in my life, I thought I knew better. But as I have grown, I've realized I don't have the answers to everything, and not everything I'm willing to continue to go down the path of just talking about. Some things I do, and I find myself, gosh, I probably shouldn't have gotten involved in that conversation. But thankfully, more and more in life now, I'm kind of letting the other person kind of come to their own truth, so to speak, because I'm realizing I'm not the Holy Spirit. And when I read that book, it really helped guide me in a lot of ways in business. So I want to challenge you. Are you willing? Here's a question for you as you're taking notes or maybe writing things down with your group. Are you willing to take advice? It's a great question for all of us. Verse 11, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wow. Boy, we see a lot of that today on social media, don't we? Get-rich-quick schemes. Follow what I've done, follow my trading pattern, and I'll help you become a multimillionaire in the next 6 months. You have $1,000 and I'll help you. Right, we've seen all these things. It says wealth from get-rich-quick schemes disappears quickly. Why does it disappear quickly? That's the question you have to ask. It's kind of like winning the lottery. It's because you don't really have the disciplines to know what it takes and the hard work to actually build it. So if you get wealth quickly, it often goes away quickly. We see this as a great example with different athletes and other people like that that have earned lots of money fast, and they spend it really, really quickly because they don't have an appreciation for it. And that's so important. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed. The instruction of the wise is like a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death. Verse 15, now I have this one highlighted in my Bible. A person with good sense is respected. A treacherous person is headed for destruction. I think sometimes we in our own lives can think we have good sense. It's human nature for us to feel like we've got it all figured out. The question is, who are we asking, to kind of evaluate ourselves? Do we have people in our lives that can really check us? And by the way, if a lot of your conversation and a lot of your focus in your mind is on what other people are doing wrong, you are probably not a good evaluator of whether or not you have common sense and good sense, because your focus is on others and not yourself. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that we should focus on the log in our own eye and not worry about the splinter in someone else's eye. So this is so important as we live life. Verse 16, a wise person, wise people think before they act. Think about that. Wise people think before they act. I got to tell you, I didn't always act in wisdom. When I was younger, I would oftentimes act, and then I would think after. I'm like, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have done that, right? But wise people think before they act, verse 16 says, fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. An unreliable messenger stumbles into trouble, but a reliable messenger brings healing. If you ignore criticism, this is huge, because we often don't like criticism in our life. But verse 18, and I've highlighted it, says, if you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. Now get this, if you ignore, If you ignore criticism, what happens? I'm talking about constructive criticism. That's what this is referring, constructive criticism. Not someone just throwing stones at you because they want to throw stones at you. But listen, when you have people in your life that have been committed, they care, they're there, they're in a place where you really believe that they have your best interest at heart, not because of just what they say, but because of their actions. And if they give you criticism and you ignore it, that doesn't mean you have to receive everything that everyone says and apply it all the time. But if you ignore criticism, constructive criticism, I'm going to add in here, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. So again, another theme in the Bible is talking about the fact that it helps us continue to discover the reality that we need help along the way. I love what Zig Ziglar said once, which he says, you know, if you see a turtle up on a fence post, you can rest assured that sucker didn't get up there by himself. He had some help along the way. No one is self-made. There has been many, many, many people that have poured into my life over the years. And so no one is self-made. We all need guidance. The question is whether or not we truly are open to receiving the guidance and then applying the guidance. Here's a great test. If you connect with someone that you know has done something and has been more successful in a particular arena than you have, you might even be in the same industry. You might be in a relationship. You might be a brother, might be a sister, might be a spouse, might be a friend. Here's a great test. Are you willing to humble yourself and accept guidance from someone who has done something better than you? Are you willing to acknowledge that? If you're not, then you're not in a place here where it says, if you accept correction, you will be honored. Because what that means is, if somebody's done something better than you, that means that you need to correct a little bit of what you're doing so you can improve and do it better. Now, there's two responses. One response is, you just go down the path and do it the way you want to do it, period, and you accept the results that you receive. And then if you don't do it as well as you would like, oftentimes that person ends up making excuses, right? Well, I wasn't able to do it because of this, or I wasn't able to do it because of that. But if you actually back the train up, you realize what actually is at the core is that type of person was unwilling to accept correction. Because someone that's willing to accept correction says, listen, I don't have everything figured out, but I want to get to this level of success or this period of truth or this period of growth in life, in my life, and I'm willing to accept from others correction so that way I can get there faster. It's the idea of not reinventing the wheel, maybe making tweaks to the wheel along the way, but not reinventing things that others have already made mistakes on. Learning from other people's mistakes is kind of what Proverbs is telling us here. Verse 19, it is pleasant to see dreams come true, but fools refuse to turn from evil to attain them. Verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. This is a big part of, if you've heard some of the other shows that I've talked about on the Michael Wall Show in the past, or even just some things that I might share oftentimes on Instagram, if you follow me there. I talk a lot about the idea of, I've talked in the past about the idea of defriending. In other words, getting people out of your life, if the conversation that someone is putting into your life is pacifying you in the state that you're in, just making you feel like, oh, it's okay that this, it's okay that that, oh, you know, it's not your fault. But no, if that's the continual conversation from someone, not that you don't need that from time to time, but if that's the conversation and they're not challenging you to push through, they're not challenging you to move forward, they're not challenging you to take accountability. Like if you don't have friends in your life like that, that's huge. You're gonna be in a place where you are not gonna grow in the way that you could grow in life. And at some point in time, I'll never forget this. Glenn Ransom, which was a team leader when I sold books door to door. I knocked door to door 80 hours a week when I was in college. One of the hardest things I've ever done. Really learned a lot from it. And one of the things that Glenn Ransom said, which I'll never forget, is he said, there's going to come a period of time in your life where you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you actually finally say, that's it. I'm making a change. I'm applying the things that I've been hearing, and I've been fooling myself, and I haven't really been disciplined in having a positive mindset. I haven't really been disciplined in doing the things that I need to do. I've had enough. It's been years of me just continually being in this prideful place, and I've had enough. I'm making the change. And you know what that is that's basically saying, I'm gonna start walking with the wise because I want to become even wiser. I don't want to associate with fools anymore. I'm tired of listening to people that are just going to pacify what I think to make me just feel okay in the moment. I want to hang out with people that push me and stretch me. That's what happens when you walk with the wise. Verse 21, trouble chases sinners with blessings, while blessings reward the righteous. Verse 22, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. Isn't that interesting? Not just to their children, but they've actually made enough quality steps that they're thinking about, how can I add value to my grandchildren? Lots of ways to do that, but it's important. By the way, this is not just about money. Inheritance can be more than money. It's also about what you're doing to work on you so that way you can be a better parent, a better grandparent, and really kind of add value to your family along the way. But sinners, wealth passes to the godly. Verse 23, a poor person's farm may produce much food, but injustice sweeps it all away. Verse 24, and I've highlighted this one. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Wow. That's powerful. It says, if you spare the rod of discipline, you hate your children. Now, I got to tell you, there's been times with four kids all close in age. I can't be honest and say there haven't been times in the past that I've disciplined and I've always done it perfectly. I haven't. There's been times where I haven't done it perfectly. And I've learned from those times because I'm human. I'm a man. I'm a person. I'm flesh and blood. So there's no one watching this that will ever say that I've done this or listening to this that will ever say probably I've done it perfectly every single time. But that doesn't mean that we run away from the correct discipline. I think one of the things that we see, you know, there's another verse that says the rod of correction drives out foolishness. And huge. We see that with our children and our young adults today, where they're walking around with disrespect. Why? Because maybe they haven't had the level of discipline necessary in their life to guide them into godliness. That's the point here. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Verse 25, the godly eat to their heart's content, but the belly of the wicked goes hungry. Boy, there's a lot in Proverbs 13. So I want to challenge you to go back again and maybe rewind the tape, if you will, and think about what are some of the things that stood out to you. Make notes. And by the way, a great little kind of guidepost along the way is if there's a verse that maybe you're like, man, that really spoke to me. Maybe it's verse 6 where it says, godliness guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin. You know, maybe it's pride. Maybe you're struggling with pride in your own life. And maybe it's, and we all struggle with that from time to time in different ways, right? So the healthy pride, which what Zig talks about, is personal responsibility in daily endeavors. That's healthy pride. Unhealthy pride is, I got it all figured out, right? So maybe that verse, pride leads to conflict, but those who take advice are wise. Maybe you're like, gosh, I need to get better at taking advice. So maybe you need that reminder. Get a little 3x5 card and write that verse out. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your car. Read it. In other words, be disciplined to having the word in front of you, washing your mind with the word of God, and that will change the way you live your life. As always, share this with someone that needs to hear it. We look forward to connecting with you, Proverbs 14. All right, be blessed. Talk to you soon.